Welcome to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti of Calvary Chapel, Montrose.
Lord, I'm trusting you through the ex-COVID and now the new COVID that will come next year or whatever. Lord, I'm going to trust you through thick and thin. Lord, I'm going to trust you, but I want you to be my Lord and Savior, my King. When you invite Jesus to come to your heart to cleanse you and to wash you of your sin, he comes in. You receive his Spirit, and you will be one that when the trumpet sounds, come up here. The doors of heaven will be open for you, and you will be received in.
In today's message, Pastor Ben will continue our study of Revelation chapter 4 with a reminder that God is the God of right now, just as much as he's God of the future. He doesn't want you to live with your eyes constantly trained on what's to come. He's blessed us with a beautiful world full of people that he created and desires to have relationship with. Engage with those people and experiences. God has a purpose for you that's greater than you can imagine when you follow him faithfully. Now here's Pastor Ben in the book of Revelation chapter 4 as he continues his message, Heaven's Open Door.
Because they are clothed in white, as does the church in Revelation 19a, we're clothed in white, which is the righteousness of the saints. Some say these elders represent the church. And also because of the golden crown, in the Greek, the Stephanos, right? Or Stephanos, however you want to say it, which is the victor's crown, and they're wearing it. And we say, oh, that speaks of us overcoming the world. But of course, we know we didn't overcome the world if it wasn't for Jesus, but we have become overcomers, as I showed you, because we have accepted Jesus into our hearts. So some think it's the church. Some say that the 24 elders represent 12 tribes of the Old Testament, 12 apostles of the New. 12 and 12 is... Well, you're sharp. Half a cup of coffee. You need more coffee, you know? And so, yes, 24, right? Some say, third option, that 24 is a continual number for service. And some of us from there draw, oh, yeah, we're available 24/7, right? So the number 24 is a number that represents continual service. So maybe that's a possibility there. Right. And finally, the thoughts of Mr. Stanley Toussaint, a former professor of Dallas Theological Seminary. He proposes that the 24 are some very special heavenly beings with authority. Do angels wear robes? Don't be so quick to answer if you don't know the answer. The answer is yes. Some will have. Will they have crowns? Some of them. You have to dig, but you'll find some of that there. Possibility. So all that to say that we can't say with assurance who these 24 elders represent. When the rapture happens and we're in heaven, guess what? There will be introductions and we will know then. Verse 5, and from the thrones proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So I'm glad the Bible offers the explanation there for who they are, right? Lightning, thunders, and voices. They demonstrate the omnipotence of God. God is all powerful. When we hear that thunder, we all go, ooh, my window's going to break, right? Lightning, we see it flash from east to west and whatnot. So it expresses, the thunderings, of course, express God's anger, if you may, against an ungodly world, right? He not only threatens, but he predicts special judgments upon it. And just as when you and I, we witness lightning, we hear thunder like voices going across the sky, what do we know? Well, we know, especially if it's blowing this way, that a storm is imminent. It's right about to happen, right? So likewise, John is seeing a throne of judgment as the tribulation on the earth is about to begin. Why is John there? because the period of the church is over with. The testimony of the church, what we were called to do as a church, it's over with. So now it's the next thing. What's going to happen? And it's going to happen quick. And maybe they're you know, like you and I would say, they're crossing their T's and they're dotting their I's in heaven. It's about to happen. And John happens to walk in, right? He's brought there at this time. Now, interesting is the fact, and I told you I'd come back to this, that John had seen back in the second part of verse 3 that there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. I bring that up because rainbows, when the rainbow was first created, I don't know if you remember this, when the rainbow was first created, it was after the flood, right? It was after the flood. The rainbow is a covenant, a promise, right, between God and man that he would never destroy the earth again with rain and flood. There will never be a flood to destroy the world again. So in the throne room, perhaps as a little reminder, as the background like emerald, here is this rainbow type stone, the emerald, right? The rainbow. It's not like God needs to be reminded, but perhaps to keep his promises, he does that. He has that there in heaven. So the tribulation, right, the people of the earth will be affected with tribulation, but it won't be via a flood. Lightning and thundering, yes. Rain, flood, no. Now, let's talk about the second part of verse 5. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The seven lamps of fire, again, they represent the Holy Spirit in his fullness and majesty. As we learn from chapter 1, there is only one Spirit of God, one, right? But the seven represents perfection and completeness. And we learned that in chapter 1 again. Here, from God's throne, we see the unique role of the Holy Spirit executing judgment. If the thought of the Holy Spirit executing judgment is unique to you, meaning, Pastor, did you just say that the Holy Spirit will execute judgment? Yes. But Pastor Ben, I've been with Calvary Chapel all these years and whatnot. And I always saw the dove up here or the dove in front of our building. And it always stood for the Holy Spirit. But we think about peace and we think about love. And we don't think about him executing judgment. So for those of you who are there, God bless you, you get to graduate today. You know, just a quick read of Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, we find the account of Ananias and Sapphira. Anybody hear of Ananias and Sapphira? Yeah. Everybody remember who took care of them, like right now? Yeah. The Holy Spirit. So there's a lesson for you. It's a quick read for you after church. I'm sure you'll come to the same conclusion. You'll say, yep, he executes judgment. All right. First part of verse 6. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass. Oh, this is so good. This is really good. I don't want to lose you here, right? So breathe in, breathe out, right? This is good. So before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. We all know that glass reflects as a mirror reflects, right? Thus, some have likened this, quote, sea of glass as the fact that before the sight of the Lord, everything is revealed. Everything, like seeing through a crystal. A sea of glass, like crystal, take a piece of crystal, and it has all these little facets, like a diamond. And if I turn it just right, I could see you very clearly, big, and nothing is hidden, right? This, of course, will give you a better understanding of what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, and I'll read it to you. It says, quote, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." So here is this sea of glass in front of him, and guess what? He is seeing you. Watching you. That's at a personal level. Historically, he is seeing and watching over his church and what has come about. And I'll tie that in for you. Second part of verse 6. So Well, let's start the first one. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, right in the middle, and around the throne, oh, were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Did you hear that? Full of eyes. Everybody, cover one eye. What do you see? Half of what I see when I have two eyes, right? When you have two eyes, you could see it all. But could you imagine if we were full of eyes after you get over the shock? Oh, how ugly this must be. Full of eyes, right? But it's there so you get the point that these creatures, they ain't missing one detail. They're not going to miss one detail. Not one iota. They're not going to miss anything. Full of eyes in front and in back. Church, if you are familiar with the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, then these four creatures, as we see here in verse 6, they sound very familiar. Now, Ezekiel is the last of the Old Testament prophets. That's a major prophets that we used to call in school. Major prophet, right? Because, why do they call it major? It has a lot of chapters. Yeah, it's big, right? It's not a small one like Jonah or something like that, right? So it's small, right? So here's the deal, right? We are right now in Jeremiah. When we get together again, we'll be in Jeremiah chapter 50. And Jeremiah only has, I think, 52 chapters. We finish those two chapters. We go to the book of Lamentations, a few chapters, and then we get to the book of Ezekiel. When we get to Ezekiel, this is Wednesday night studies, Old Testament studies, the very first chapter talks about these dudes. So when we mention them right now, with eyes in front, eyes behind them, you know, and this and that, if you had a little inkling that, oh my gosh, I've read this before, I've heard of these guys before, this is it, right? These four creatures being seen here in verse 6, they're familiar, they're full of eyes, and that they're full of eyes means, again, that they see everything. So Ezekiel was down by the river Shebar when he encountered the creatures described here in verse 6. Now, come back to here, verse 7. The first living creature was like a lion, right? The second living creature, like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now listen, church. Ever since Adam and Eve, but specifically with Cain, man has blabbed and blabbed and blabbed about everything. And anything. If I was in charge, I'd do it this way. If that would have been given to me, I would have done it this way. And nothing has changed. We as mankind still think we know it all. So we continue the same. But above the babble of man's plan, the authoritative voice of God speaks, has spoken, and will speak in the future. And these four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back, they know it. They know what man was saying back in the times of Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve and Moses and Joshua and all those guys, right? They know what you have been saying since you were born, what's been going on, whatever. They know and they'll see what will go on in the future as well. They have seen it in the past. They're seeing it now, and they're not going to miss a detail at the end. Listen, from verse 7, the four appearances, lion, calf, man, and a flying eagle prefigure the four aspects in which God would reveal himself when he incarnated himself in human flesh as Messiah. In other words, before Jesus came on earth, these animals here, they pitch in on what the Lord would be like. In fact, right on the right side is a lion, right? A symbol of kingship. Matthew presents Jesus as the king. On the left is the ox, a symbol of a servant. Mark presented Jesus as the servant who came not to serve, right? Not to be served, but to serve is how Mark presents Jesus. The face of a man represents his perfect humanity. Dr. Luke, right? He presents Jesus as 100% man. 100% man. And finally, we have the eagle soaring overhead. It symbolizes his deity. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? Jesus, they take him to the cross because he claimed to be equal with God. John represented him in that way. There was no mistake about it. Verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, right? And they do not rest day or night, saying, check it out, holy, 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 past, present, future. Start connecting the dots. In threes they come, right? Even the key to Revelation, it's in a three. Three means resurrection. Jesus was raised on the third day. Wake up, get up, grasp what the Lord puts in front of you so that your understanding starts growing, so that you start maturing as a Christian man or woman, so that you become responsive to the Word of God and you serve Him until He takes us home. Our time is short, but here's something for us to realize. They say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Another three, a holy for each one. The six wings give the impression of unlimited mobility in fulfilling God's command. Now, check this out. When Adam and Eve and everything was around them, His angels, God had angels watching over us. And even number Moses, when they put him on the little basket, when Mama Miriam puts him on the little basket and sends him down Crocodile Alley, you think the Lord didn't have His angels? Hey, guys, today we're on alert. This is going on, right? And so they're watching and they're caring, and maybe move a reed aside, just as when you should have died in an accident, but why didn't you? Because the Lord has His angels around you, taking care of you, watching out for you, because He loves you more than you can love yourself. He wants you to come up to heaven with Him and enjoy the things that He has prepared for you. Our God is watching, and these angels have been watching. They haven't missed it. That crystal sea is life past, life present, life future, and He sees and He's watching out for you. The Lord says He has His angels that see you and take care of you, and they come before His face and they present a report on what is going on with you. Wow. Can you see? Holy, 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 holy is because it's without sin. God has dealt with mankind without Him sinning Himself. He's done it. And everything He's created, He created mountains, rivers, lakes, snow, land, everything. He created it perfectly. And the angels see it and say, this is just amazing. And when we enjoy it, and He wants you to enjoy it, as beautiful as it is, right? Just enjoy it without sin. His angels are there watching over you. Listen, you haven't taken a vacation, you better plan one. Either that or you're going to leave all your money to Antichrist in the bank, right? I mean, think about this. Your kids want to, daddy, daddy, can we have an ice cream? No, we're on vacation. We got to save it for gas. It's $6 a gallon, you know, whatever. Oh my gosh, pay the gas and get the kid an ice cream. You know, take care of it while you can. Just stay in balance. There's a balance for everything. But if you are just on this side that I'm saving, I'm hoarding, I'm leaving it for the future sometime. Hey, save a little bit, but my goodness gracious, enjoy what He has put on this earth for you. Do you know, just last week I was speaking to a person who told me, I've never been to the Pacific Ocean. And I'm looking at him and I believe it, because in 1995, when I started working for the school district in Delta, there was kids that had never crossed over the Rockies to Denver. And we're talking about college and say, we ain't going to college. You know, I said, no, you need to know, I ain't going to college. My parents, you know, were scared of college. And I said, well, we got to go. So we started organizing trips for the eighth grader and the ninth grader to go early and spend the night at up in Greeley, University of Colorado up there, across the street to Colorado State University, down in Alamosa, right? Grizzly country, you know, and whatnot. And we started taking the kids even up to Grand Junction before it was Mesa State University. It was just a little college like everybody else. You know, everybody thinks they're growing up and whatnot. So we take the kids, exposure. You will not see what God has created unless you get out of Montrose, Colorado and travel. Even 10, 15 minutes to the south, it is gorgeous. Going over Lizard Head or Red Mountain Pass is just super fantastic views. I love it. My wife gets closer to me. Honey, are you looking? Don't get so close to the edge, right? It's good stuff, you know? I mean, it is amazing things that God has done. But the salt water, whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, there is nothing like the beach. Clear day, beautiful. Some of you guys like it 72 at the beach. I like it kind of like 80, right? My feet touching the sand. You know, it's good stuff. I got very spoiled feet now as I get older. Anyway, the only way the angels can say holy, holy, holy is they see what God has created. And some of us can't say holy because we're here and we're stuck and we just finished the wind season and we're all, can't breathe. Wish it was over with. Hey, thank God you have noses to breathe still. But you have a God who loves you and watches over these things. I know, I better hurry up. All right, so these creatures, they do not rest day or night. Not rest is physical necessity of the earthly life, but in heaven, it is unnecessary. Our bodies are going to go and go and never ache or hurt. There's constant worship in heaven, day and night, as we would say. So the four living creatures, right, ceaselessly proclaim the holiness of God. Again, holy, holy, holy. They celebrate God's holiness and power manifested in past, present, and future. So it's a holy that ties into each one, right, of the activities that are going on. And nine, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sit on the thrones and worship him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." Here's why I'd like you to get out there and throw a rock in the water. He's created all things. And by your will, they exist and were created. The creatures with all those eyes have seen it all, from the actual creation past to the present, today, and to the future. When we get to heaven, we're going to meet them, right? And it's the Lord who created everything around us, as I said, and has assigned angels to watch over us, as I've said. And by God's mercy, we all have survived. And the angels know it. They have been a part of your rescue plan, right? And they report to the Lord and have helped us along. In fact, entertaining strangers, right? Some of them as strangers, we have unwittingly entertained angels, is what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says to us. So church, as we close, enjoy these things that God has done for us. But here's where I want to go with this. Newsflash, he has created you. He has created you, the individual, that you would bring him praise, that you would bring him honor and glory with your life. Everything you do, may it be to the glory, to honor the Lord. May it be for his praise. Whatever it is that you do, do it for the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you will never experience a full life. You will never experience a satisfied life until you connect with your Creator. Once you connect with him and you confess your sins, you confess your belief in him that Jesus died for you and rose again for you on the third day, and that he lives forever, and that he's coming back for us, and that he's coming back to earth after that, right? You'll never make that connection. You'll always be searching. You're always going to be empty. No matter what you try, you're never going to be fully satisfied. You'll be like Mick Jagger singing, "I can get no satisfaction." You know, nothing will fill the void. But when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you trust him, "Lord, I'm trusting you through the ex-COVID and now the new COVID that will come next year or whatever. Lord, I'm going to trust you through thick and thin. Lord, I'm going to trust you, but I want you to be my Lord and Savior, my King." When you invite Jesus to come to your heart to cleanse you and to wash you of your sin, he comes in. You receive his Spirit, and you will be one that when the trumpet sounds, "Come up here," the doors of heaven will be open for you, and you will be received in, and you'll live with him forever and ever. Wherever Jesus is, we're going to be with him forever. Father God, we thank you for your word, for this incredible chapter 4, Lord, that is in our book, Lord, in our Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to taste it and entertain it, Lord, in our minds, Lord. Now help it, Lord. Help us grasp the realities in it, Lord. And though they're future, Lord, they are there even now. Help us see through your eyes, Father.
You've been listening to Come Drink the Water as we dive in together to the book of Revelation. What comes to mind when you think about Revelation? A dragon? A pregnant woman? The Antichrist? Or the persecution of the church? Or maybe you think about the rapture of the church and the throne room of God. No doubt this book is filled with some exotic pictures and tricky theology. That's why Pastor Ben Garrotti has taken the time to dive into this book and go through it verse by verse with you. Once you break it down, it becomes clear that all of it is a love story written by God to his church. He's given us these stories so that we can encourage each other as we see the day of His return growing close. Come Drink the Water is a ministry out of Calvary Chapel, Montrose. If you're in the Montrose, Colorado area, we'd love to see you someday soon. There's something special about joining into a community of believers. That's where life and encouragement and strength is found. You can find out service times and our location on our website, calvarymontrose.com. Once again, that website is calvarymontrose.com. While you're there, you could also access any messages you might have missed along the way or listen to today's message again. And if you'd like to ask a question, you can always email us at radio@calvarymontrose.com. We'll do our best to answer any questions you may have about today's message. That's radio@calvarymontrose.com. Thanks for joining us today. We look forward to next time right here on Come Drink the Water. Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me.